Let me ask you tonight, if you would, when your family's present, open your Bibles and read with me from the second book of Samuel, beginning in chapter 11 and in verse 26, and going down through chapter 12 and reading as far down as verse 15. It's a familiar story, and yet it's a very important one, and one that wouldn't do us any harm reading it again and again and again. May the Lord speak to your heart while we read together from the Word of God. 2 Samuel chapter 11 and in verse 26. When the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. And when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare a son. And the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David. And he came unto him and said unto him, There were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank out of his own cup, and he laid it in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveller unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives unto thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if it had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, The Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed to his house. And the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. And God always puts a blessing on the reading of his word. You know, man faces very many varied problems. But one problem is the rock bottom of every problem that he faces. It's the problem of sin. Every tear, every sob, every sigh, every heartache has its root in sin. If there's one word that is evil within it, it's spelled S-I-N. It was born in disobedience. It lives in envy. It ends in death. For the wages of sin is death, though the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There are infidels who have laughed at it. There are theosophists who ignore it, telling us that we are gods. There are Christian scientists that say there's nothing really wrong with man and explain the concept that he merely has a deranged mental apparatus. But according to the Word of God, his fundamental problem is a problem of sin. It was stated, sin is the living worm, the lasting fire. Hell would soon lose her heat, could sin expire. I want you to look at this sin, David's sin. Not committed during his youth. So many of our sins we blame on youth, but committed during his middle age. I want you to look at it in person, first of all, that specific personal sin which David committed. It's interesting. You find it in the book of Samuel. You do not find it in the book of Chronicles. And if you want to know the reason for it, in the book of Chronicles, you're getting a historical survey of what God is doing through the long years of Old Testament history. But when you read in the book of Samuel and in the book of Kings, you're actually looking at the material that God had to use while he was unfolding his program recorded in the book of Chronicles. So for that reason, the material God uses often is nothing more than the weak vessel of man that often minimize the fact of their weakness and don't realize at the best they are only human. I must mention to you that we're looking at the human event, not the divine side, but there is a beautiful divine side to the fact. God forgave this man for what had happened to him. Let me, before we speak about it, go a little bit closer into the detail of it. I want you to look first of all at what it was that occasioned his sin, and then I want you to look at the outcome of it. Why did David commit this sin? It was 17 years after he had been established upon his throne. It was 17 wonderful years of reign, 17 prosperous years. The sun was shining in his life. It was unclouded in splendor. It unfolded for him a great life. The blessing of God was upon his life. He himself had been known as the Shepherd King. He was the sweet singer of Israel. He was a man after God's own heart. 17 years, unbroken progress in his life. And then, just as swiftly as it could have happened, here comes in a moment of ill-advised leisure and badly planned that eventually brought to him a tremendous loss in his experience, David sinned against the Lord. He gave his soldiers the commission to go off into battle, but he lingered at home. Now, it's always dangerous because the devil can find work for idle hands. And it's always dangerous for a person to be idle. Some of the biggest problems that you and I face in life are the leisure hours of life. Some of our biggest difficulties, though we're not willing to admit it, some of our biggest spiritual catastrophes happen during the vacations of life. Maybe it's the after effect. In whatever way it is, this is how it happened with David. Nathan came to him and told him the story. Being a shepherd, he was extremely sympathetic. A rich man with plenty of his provisions had a traveler come to him, but rather than take one of his own flock, he took one little ewe lamb that belonged to a poor man, all that he possessed, and he loved it so deeply it was like a daughter unto him. And a rich man took it, and the rich man killed it for the purpose of providing for the traveler that came. Now in Nathan's mind, the story was very pointed. And had David not been so unaware of the consequence of his sin, it would have immediately dawned on him why Nathan was present. That poor man was Uriah the Hittite. That traveler was circumstance. That rich man was King David himself. And that one little ewe lamb was Bathsheba. And it was merely a matter of telling the story and David accepting and understanding it. The Bible doesn't blame Bathsheba. Bathsheba agreed with David. Bathsheba's always agree when somebody wants to sin. But in all the Bible, the blame of that problem is left upon David. Sin, really, is the most expensive experience that a man can have in this life and in the next life. That's David's sin. Now look at the outcome of his sin. Because the outcome of David's sin is that a child is born unto him and he murders a man by the name of Uriah the Hittite. News came from Bathsheba that the sin committed by them in private could not be kept secret. It could no longer be hidden. And so it's important we understand sin will always find you out. It was G.H. Morrison vacationing in the Highlands of Scotland and out roaming across some of that heathered mountain area when he noticed an eagle coming down and in the heather picking up a weasel and carrying it up into the sky. But the weasel, evidently in the pinions of that great bird, struggled, so that the bird, in order to keep its prey, pulled it into its breast. And no sooner had it happened than, as G.H. Morrison was watching it, it fell like a rock from the sky until it hit the ground. Arrested by the incident, G.H. Morrison went over to see the eagle and found out that when the eagle had taken that weasel, had pulled it into its breast, it was all the weasel needed. It was able to find its way to one of the jugular veins, and that eagle could not take the consequence. Sin does the same thing in a person's life. And if you're not careful, sin, like David's, will always find you out. David decided, in this sin, I'm going to get a hold of Uriah the Hittite. I'm going to get him back from battle. I'm going to see if I can shift the responsibility of my sin and let it fall upon him. Hide it, disguise it, transfer it. But when Uriah the Hittite came home, he was a soldier on leave during war. His loyalty to David would not allow him to go home to his wife, even though David encouraged him to do that. And as a result of it, David found out he couldn't transfer his guilt. The next thing that David decided to do was to try to minimize the consequence of his guilt. And to do that, he sent Uriah the Hittite back to battle. He brought Joab, the captain of his host, and he gave him counsel how to get Uriah the Hittite into the front of the battle, have everybody else retreat, leave him alone, and let him die at the hand of the Ammonites. And it was done. Then David decided that he could take Bathsheba, make her his legal wife, and as a result of it, the offspring of their sin would become David's legal child. And he tried to cover up the consequence of his sin by these two methods. Both of them failed. Oh, for a moment, he had succeeded in the latter part, and the plan was going well until this happened. But there were some things that took place in his life that did not go well. And I read some of them for you. In chapter 11 and in verse 27, in the last part of the verse, it says the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. That means that the smile of God went off his face. For 17 years, David had enjoyed that smile on his life. And for him, it was sunshine that didn't come fitful or intermittent. It was no winter, it was no night. It was 17 years of unbroken beauty and fellowship with God. But at the end of it, the smile on God's face had left, because David sinned against the Lord and it displeased the Lord. Sin will always do that in a believer's life. The second thing that you'll notice is found in chapter 12 and in verse 13. And that is that David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. When God smiles on a man, that man has peace in his heart. When that smile disappears from God's face, that peace disappears from that man's heart. And as a result of it, even though I don't know what it took, what kind of pathos and anguish and sorrow and grief that it could have taken to force a confession like that from David, all I know is that in the anguish that made it come, peace must have left his heart. A tragic and sad thing. The third thing you'll notice in verse 10 of chapter 12, where it says, Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house. In other words, an instability came to David's throne and to David's life. And if you want to read about it, read in chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and you'll find out that sin breaks any stability that can come into life. There is nothing in the world that can shake the foundation of your life any more than sin. The foundations of your home, your business, your community, your nation, your church. When you've got sin in your life, the foundations are rocking. Another thing that happened is found in verse 14, where it states, God stated through the prophet Nathan, Howbeit because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. David lost his power to witness. And it was to the very people that he wanted to win to God. It was the individuals above everybody else that he wanted to bring into the camp of God, and to them, not only did he destroy the opportunity of witnessing to them, but he gave them an occasion to blaspheme against his God because of sin that came into his life. It's sad when you realize that this is a man of God with whom we're dealing, one of God's choicest servants, and yet he faces this problem. The smile has gone away from the face of God. The peace has gone away from the heart of David. The stability has gone away from the nation itself. And the very people that they've been trying to win to God turned around by the occasion of the sin and found reason to blaspheme the God he was trying to win them to. All of that is the consequence when you allow sin to come into your life. And you don't handle that sin. The thing that occasioned it was brief. The outcome of it was unending in his life. My dad used to say it is better to build a fence at the top of a cliff than a hospital at the bottom. But thank God for all those spiritual ambulances that are dealing with broken hearts and ruined souls and trying to mend and repair the damage that has been done in life. Nathan's sermon is brought at a period of time 1 year, 12 months after the commitment of this deed. And all during the 12 months, David nursed that sin. But it was a discomforting experience to him. I'll let David say it to you in David's own words, where he did in Psalm 32 and in verse 3 and 4. He said, When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, my moisture was changed as with the drought of summer. Here's a man hiding a sin. And in the hiding of a sin, the consequence of it described in the way that I've explained it to you. The agony of an experience of not being in fellowship with God, and then looking at the very servant of God, addressing him on his sin that he kept hidden in his heart, and nevertheless, despite the secrecy of it, as you know, he's confessing the fact I've gone through that heartache and that heartbreak this whole year, and 12 months hiding my secret. My bones have waxed old. My tears have run until I'm dry, and summer has turned to drought for me. You can't hide your sins and get away with it. You notice that Nathan was faithful. Thank God for faithful preachers. Thank God for men that don't seek the favor of men nor fear the face of men, but boldly declare the convictions that God lays on their heart. And Nathan was that kind of a man. It's said in a class on homiletics, where you learn how to preach, that if you preach a sermon that doesn't have an illustration in it, it's like building a house that doesn't have a window in it. If that is true, Nathan's house is a greenhouse. There's nothing but window in it. When you look at what Nathan is doing, Nathan didn't say to David, suppose. He didn't say, now let us assume that. He immediately invents a story. He converts the invention into a parable, and the parable into an application. And he explains to David in his parable so that David fully understands, being a shepherd, fully sympathetic, understanding the word of God, emphatic to the degree in which he became excited. He said, one thing that man will do, that man shall pay that poor man fourfold for what he has taken from him. And more than that, as he explains in verse 5, his anger was kindled greatly against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. David was angry. Nathan said to David, thou art the man. I'm sure the pause that came from it was a pause longer than the one we've just experienced. It's my conviction that whenever David or Nathan pointed his finger at David, David coming and falling on his knees, trembling and broken under the experience of what had happened, he turned around immediately to say, I have sinned against the Lord. And you may remember that as a result of that, Nathan immediately said to him, the Lord hath put away thy sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Anytime sin is confessed, it is forgiven. When it is confessed, it is cleansed. When it is confessed, it is put away. And when the prophet says, thou art the man, and the sinner trembles to say, I have sinned, that's a confessed sin dealt with. And for David, it was dealt with at that moment. Let me draw a conclusion by two observations. One of my observations is the immediacy of the pardon that David enjoyed. If you notice, the moment that he made his confession, immediately Nathan said to him, God put away your sin. It's like the prodigal son. He was in a far country, and if you remember, while he was in that far country, he realized that he was in poverty, and he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father. I will say to my father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thine hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him and had compassion on him. And the son said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. And the father said, bring forth the best robe. Before he finished his confession, there was a forgiveness that was given. Before he had expressed completely his repentance, the father understood the experience. And immediately, that's the beauty of it, the moment a person lays his problem at God's feet, You don't have to wait for God to offer a pardon. The very moment you confess, God takes care of that sin. The immediacy of it comes to mind. And it's amazing when you think of God. Because God, when you look at God in other aspects of experience, is slow. Take God in nature. Do you realize that when it comes to the seasons, there are 12 months that pass before the repeat? Do you realize that when it comes to harvest, it's a 12-month period of time and a sowing in time before harvest arrives? Do you realize that in a man's birthday, he has one but every 12 months, as though the footprints of God walking in nature indicate that God takes his time and is slow, but the very moment that God deals in grace, that instant, God grants forgiveness. That is an amazing fact that is obvious when you read the story of David's sin. One other fact that I make an observation on, and that is that in spite of his confession, a consequence that comes to sin. You look at his home, you look at his throne, and you realize that it keeps on rocking the rest of his life. Poor David, even though he confessed it and found forgiveness with God, poor David went through the torture and experience. And on one occasion, when his boy was killed in the forest by the man that should have been his best friend, he wept and he cried and said, "Oh, Absalom, Absalom." In essence, "Would to God that I had been murdered for thee." He's saying over Absalom's dead body, "I believe you were murdered because I sinned against God." It's very difficult to overcome the consequence of sin, even though God forgives. A father with a disobedient child said to the boy, "Get me a piece of wood," and he ran and got it. He said, "Bring in some big nails," and he ran and got them. He said, "Go fetch me a hammer," and he ran to get the hammer. And he said to the boy, "Take a nail and pound it into the wood." And excited, the boy got the nail and started hammering it down into the wood. And he said, "Son, that represents," and reminded him of one of his acts of disobedience. He said, "Take another nail and put it in." And he said, "That reminds me of another disobedience." And he reminded him one after another until the board was getting crowded with nails. Then he said, "Son, I've forgiven you, so pull them all out." And that little boy started pulling the nails out of the wood. And he said, "You see, you can get forgiven. They can be taken away." And the boy smiled with contentment, but his dad said, "Son, take the holes out of the wood now." The boy said, "I can't." You get the message? David's sin fell on his family, rocked his throne, affected his work for God. It's a simple thing to fall into sin. It's not so simple to overcome it. God, give us delivering grace. We need it.